الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فمرحبا مرحبا أيها الطلاب، طلاب العلم. Welcome, O noble students, students of knowledge. May Allah bless you, increase you in good in this life and the hereafter, and grant you a firm and solid understanding of his religion by his grace and his mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We begin this morning seeking the help and the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, studying a very famous treatise by a great scholar and imam from the imams of the sunnah. And the treatise is known as Thalathatu al-Usul wa Adillatuha, the three fundamental principles and their evidences. And that great imam is al-Imam al-Mujaddid Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So we begin our studies with a brief reading on the introduction about the author. He is Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And he is from the tribe of At-Tamim. So he's known as Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullahu ta'ala, At-Tamimi. At-Tamimi. He was born in the year 115. After the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a town called Unayza, which is in the direction of Riyadh today, not far from there in that area. And that area is known as Najd. And he died in the year 1206, rahimahullahu ta'ala. His service and calling to Allah in reviving the correct aqidah and methodology is well known. Is well known. May Allah have mercy on him and accept his efforts and grant him a high rank and status in the hereafter. And from the books that he has authored, rahimahullahu ta'ala, from the most famous Kitab al-Tawheed, alladhi huwa haqqullahi ala al-abid, Kitab al-Tawheed, alladhi huwa haqqullahi ala al-abid. And likewise, the work that we're studying now, thalathatu al-usul wa adillatuha, as well as the work Kashf al-Shubuhat and many others like al-Kaba'ir and Nawaqid al-Islam, usul al-Iman, and al-Qawaid al-Arba'a, and many, many other great beneficial works that the author he has written, rahimahullahu ta'ala. We began studying the text of Thalathatu Usul wa Adillatuha, the three fundamental principles and their evidences. And their evidences. The people of knowledge have clarified that this particular treatise, it consists of three muqaddimat. Thalathu muqaddimat. The first muqaddimah is with regards to al-masail al-arba', the four important issues to learn and to know about knowledge and its importance and application of that, and according to that, and being patient upon that way, clarifying the methodology of a true believer in life. And as for the second introduction and those three fundamental principles, it's about the shahada. It's about the shahada, establishing the tawheed for Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and having an allegiance based upon that. And the third introduction is with regards to the clarification of al-hanifiyyah. Al-hanifiyyah, the pure religion of al-tawheed, the religion of all of the prophets and messengers, millatu Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, and the true understanding of al-Islam. Then after that, there is the text of al-Surah Thalath, which is based upon the three questions in the grave. Man Rabbuk, wa ma dinuk, wa man nabiyuk. Who is your Lord, and what is your religion and way of life, and who is your prophet and role model that you follow absolutely, that you follow absolutely. So this portion of the text is in three parts. The first principle with regards to learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second principle with regards to learning about the religion of al-Islam, and the third principle with regards to learning about the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from the beautiful methodology is that all of this is based upon evidence and proof. It's based upon evidence and proof. And this is the reality of the religion. Masail wa dala'il. Masail wa dala'il. There's issues in the religion and there's evidences for them. And this is the proper manner to learn. And then after that, there is a khatimah. And a closing that the author closed with rahimahullahu ta'ala, discussing important affairs about Islam and things that are in contradiction to that, and the issues related to at-tawaghit, and that the head of the affair is the deen of al-Islam, the most important thing that must be preserved and never sacrificed or never endangered, or never endangered. So there are so many things to talk about with regards to this beneficial text, but we're going to summarize and take each point and each portion briefly in a summarized manner, insha'Allah ta'ala. With that being said, we begin reading the actual text. And we know that the students are highly encouraged to memorize the likes of this work and to memorize in these classes specifically, to memorize the Arabic and to try to understand that as much as possible, and also to comprehend the meanings in English and learn vocabulary and the likes from the terms that are mentioned in this beneficial text. So the author, he began with the basmala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. I'lam rahimakallah annahu yajibu alayna ta'allumu arba'i masail. No, may Allah have mercy on you. That is obligatory upon us to learn four matters. That is obligatory upon us to learn four matters. Al-ula al-ilm. The first is knowledge. Wa huwa ma'rifatullah wa ma'rifatu nabiyhi wa ma'rifatu din al-islami bil-ladina. This is knowing Allah, knowing His Prophet, and knowing the religion of Islam with evidence and proof. Athaniya al-amalu bihi. The second, acting upon it, and you putting it into application. Athalitha al-da'watu ilayhi. The third is calling to it, and calling to that knowledge and to that application. Al-rabi'a al-sabru ala al-adha fihi. And the fourth is patience in enduring harm in this way, in this issue. Here's referring back to all of the previous points. As-sabr ala al-adha fihi, being patient upon the harm that one may face in this path of seeking knowledge and applying the knowledge and calling to that way. The author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, wa dalil qawluhu ta'ala, and the evidence for that which has preceded is a statement of Allah the Most High. And this is what I was referring to previously, that here he began with hadhihi al-masail al-arba'a thumma qala wa dalil. And then he said, after that, rahimahullah, and the evidence. And for the evidence for what I mentioned is found in the statement of Allah, the Most High, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat, wa tawasaw bil haqq, wa tawasaw bis sabr. The evidence is the saying of Allah, the Most High, by an asr, and by the time. Verily, man is in loss except those who believe, meaning in the pure Islamic monotheism, and they do righteous good deeds and recommend one another to the truth, meaning ordering one another to perform all kinds of good deeds which Allah has ordained and legislated, and abstain from all kinds of sins and evil deeds which Allah has forbidden, and recommend one another to patience for the sufferings, harms, and injuries which one may encounter in Allah's cause during preaching His religion of Islamic monotheism or jihad. Any rather patience in all of these affairs, and seeking knowledge and learning, and patience in applying the knowledge and upholding the rights of that, and likewise patience in calling to Allah and clarifying the truth and refuting the falsehood and warning from the deviant and misguided people and sects and ways and methodologies. After this, the author, he says, rahimahullah, qala al-Shafi'i, rahimahullahu ta'ala, law ma anzala Allahu hujjatan ala khalqihi illa hadhihi as-surah lakafatuhum. And al-Imam al-Shafi'i, he said, may Allah have mercy on him, if Allah had not revealed a proof to His creation other than the surah, it would have been sufficient for them. It would have been sufficient for them. Any meaning in clarifying the proper methodology and the correct way of life and means for success and savior in this life and the hereafter, and protection from failure and loss in the hereafter, it would suffice with regards to this issue here. Waqala al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, and al-Imam al-Bukhari, may Allah have mercy on him, he said, babun al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wal-amal, the chapter, knowledge before speech and action, meaning knowledge, it must come before and precede every statement and deed. وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. The evidence for this likewise is the statement of Allah the Most High, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. And the meaning of which is, so know, you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and ask for forgiveness for your sins. And ask for forgiveness for your sins. فبدأ بالعلم قبل القول والعمل. Thus he began with knowledge before speech and action. So these are the four issues that the author had began this beneficial treatise with as the first introduction. And these affairs here are of utmost importance. And there is an indication here to those usul that we're studying, which is the purpose of authoring the work in the first place, which is to know Allah and to know His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and to know the religion of Islam with evidence. But this introduction here is just to clarify the importance of this affair, the status of knowledge, and the application of knowledge, and the incumbent right to call and propagate that knowledge, and the great condition and requirement of being patient upon the harms that one may face in that way. So we begin now after reading the text and having a general understanding. Now we're going to read it again with more detail and some benefits. So the methodology of the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, in beginning by saying, I'lam, I'lam rahimahullah, you must know, may Allah have mercy on you. I'lam, meaning this is something very important. Ta'allam, you must learn it. You must know it, meaning you must learn it. You must understand it. You must comprehend it. And you must believe in it and follow it. I'lam rahimahullah. Know, may Allah have mercy on you. This command here to know, this is found in the book of Allah. And there are many verses where Allah, He began in the same manner. And from the homework, I asked some of the students to find evidences for that. Evidences for what I'm mentioning here, that Allah likewise, He mentions the same manner, methodology. Even if you do not look far, maybe you will find one on your very screen. Other evidences likewise, maybe some of the students can bring them as extra benefit. I'lam rahimakallah. No, may Allah have mercy on you. So the author, he began by drawing the attention to the obligation of learning and also supplicating for the student. And this is an indication that he wants good for the student. And the supplication that he's making, rahimahullah ta'ala, may Allah have mercy on him, is that Allah will bestow His mercy upon the reader and the student. Upon the reader and the student. So even before beginning, he's supplicating and making dua and asking Allah the Most High to have mercy on those who are reading and benefiting from His works, rahimahullah ta'ala. And this is an indication of a fundamental principle that al-ilmu rahimun bayna ahlihi. That the people of knowledge, they mention and they say, al-ilmu rahimun bayna ahlihi. That knowledge is a rahim amongst his people. A rahim literally means the womb. But what is intended is the ties of relatives. Is the ties of relatives. A rahim is the womb, the ties of relatives. But what is intended here? Al-ilm rahim bayna ahlihi. That it's a connection. That knowledge is a connection between his people. That the teachers and the scholars and their students, they have a great connection with each other through this knowledge. And that connection is a connection of mercy. And that connection is a connection of mercy. So you must know, oh my beloved students, may Allah have mercy on you, that the religion of Islam is the religion of mercy. It is a religion legislated and prescribed by the Most Merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point that we want to take now is that the greatest aspect of mercy, that the greatest aspect of mercy is the mercy of guidance and knowledge. The mercy of guidance and knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the most gracious and the most merciful. And His mercy has encompassed the entire creation. But He selects and chooses those whom He wills from His creation to bestow upon them a special type of mercy. And that is called Ar-Rahma Al-Imaniyah. Ar-Rahma Al-Imaniyah. This is the mercy of sincere faith. And that is whenever Allah will guide a person's heart to Al-Islam. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Whomsoever Allah wants to guide, He will open His heart to Al-Islam. This is the greatest favor and the greatest blessing and the greatest mercy. And the greatest mercy. So from here we see that أَعْظَمُ الرَّحْمَةِ يَكُونُ بِالتَّعْلِيمِ التَّوْحِيدِ وَالسُّنَّةِ بِالتَّعْلِيمِ التَّوْحِيدِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. The greatest aspect of mercy that we can perform amongst each other is that we will teach and educate the people upon Tawheed and Sunnah. So this is what he's doing, rahimahullah ta'ala, a great act of kindness and mercy that he would take his time and write the likes of these treaties and these letters, and to spread this beneficial knowledge and to summarize it in this most concise, beneficial, and beautiful manner. And then on top of that, make dua for us to have mercy, an indication that this is a gathering of mercy, and that the students of knowledge, they are from the people of mercy. They are from the followers of the merciful Prophet, Nabiul Rahmah, and from those who believe in Ar-Rahman, and they establish the legislation of Ar-Rahman, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the greatest mercy is the mercy of educating and teaching and calling the people to the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 728. He said a beautiful statement with regards to this. He says, Ahlul sunnah a'lamu al-nasi bil-khaliq wa arhamu al-nasi bil-khalq. Ahlul sunnah a'lamu al-nasi bil-khaliq wa arhamu al-nasi bil-khalq. That the people of the sunnah, the true people of the sunnah, they are the most knowledgeable of mankind with regards to the creator. And they are the most merciful of mankind with regards to the people. So this is the benefit of knowledge. And the virtue of knowledge, that you will know Allah Azza wa Jal, and from that is knowing His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection, and from that is He is the most gracious and the most merciful. And then likewise, after that, to be kind and merciful to the people, to be kind and merciful to the people. The people of knowledge, they say, أَرْحَمُ النَّاسِ بِالنَّاسِ أَتْبَعُهُمْ بِالنَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ, that the most merciful of the people to the people are the ones who follow most properly and diligently the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is because Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned about His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, we did not send you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, except as a mercy to mankind. So this was the wisdom of Ar-Rahman in sending the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi Ar-Rahman, the Prophet of mercy, that He is a mercy to all mankind. So in order to benefit from that mercy, one must believe in Him and follow Him. One must believe in Him and learn His way, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and follow Him diligently, in public and in private. A person in this manner would obtain a vast portion of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a believer, a true follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be merciful and kind and gentle with the people. And at the head of that is to learn the religion of the most merciful, and to teach and to guide others to that way. To that way. It has been collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا يَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ رُحَمًا, that Allah, He only shows mercy to His slaves who are merciful. So if you hope to have the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you must be merciful and kind and gentle to the people. At the head of that is being kind and merciful by teaching and spreading the Tawheed. And the teacher will be kind and merciful with the students, and the students will be kind and merciful with the teachers. This is from the good and beautiful way. And likewise, being kind and merciful with the family members, and at the head of that, the parents, as well as the parents with the children. The parents with the children. Also has been collected by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi, and also Imam Ahmed from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman, that those who are merciful, the most merciful will show them mercy. Irhamu man fil ardi yarhamkum man fil sama, show mercy to those who are on the earth, and the one who is above the heavens will show mercy to you, will show mercy to you. And likewise, it's been collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man la yarham, la yurham, that whoever does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. So the religion of Islam is the religion of mercy, and the legislation of Islam is the legislation of mercy, and the Prophet of Islam is the Prophet of mercy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is because the Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. He is the most gracious, He is the most merciful. Even in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, it's ordained to be kind and merciful to the animals. And those who are merciful to the people and to the creation, then Allah will be merciful to them. And it's been collected by Imam Ahmad from the hadith of Abi Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, that he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inni la adhbahu shat وأرحمها. He said, and, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will slaughter a sheep, but I will show mercy to it. But I will show mercy to it. And I will slaughter it, but when I slaughter it, I will do that in a merciful and a kind manner, not in a harmful or a cruel manner. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ash-shat in rahimtaha, rahimakallah. The sheep, if you are merciful to it, then Allah will show you mercy. Then Allah will show your mercy. So here, i'lam rahimakallah, you must know, may Allah have mercy on you. This is an indication that this religion is a religion of mercy. And the greatest aspects of mercy is that which is based upon knowledge and sincere faith and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and cooperating upon spreading and teaching and cultivating others upon that guidance. So the teachers must remember that they're teaching the guidance of the most merciful one. They're following the Prophet of mercy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and their way is to be merciful. And they must be sincere, hoping that the mercy of guidance will enter the hearts of those who are learning and benefiting from them. And likewise, the students must remember the great status of their teachers and show them mercy and be kind to them and respect them and honor them. All of this for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and hoping for His reward. So you must know, may Allah have mercy on you, that it's an obligation upon all of us to learn four affairs. Not an obligation upon you and not me, or upon them and not us, or upon the students and not the teachers. Rather, it's an obligation upon all of us. أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا يَنِي جَمِيعًا. It's incumbent, obligation upon all of us. تَعَلُّمُ أَرْبَعِ مَسَائِلِ يَنِي أَن نَتَعَلَّمَ أَرْبَعَ مَسَائِلِ. That we learn four affairs. الْأُولَى, the head of them, and the very first one of them is العلم, is knowledge. And just to verify and to clarify, whenever we're talking about knowledge, وَهُوَ مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ وَمَعْرِفَةُ نَبِيِّهِ وَمَعْرِفَةُ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ بِاللَّهِ. And the knowledge that it's incumbent for all of us to learn is the knowledge of Allah. And he meaning the knowledge about Allah Azza wa Jalla, the knowledge about His Tawheed, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, which is the fundamental foundation of the religion and the basis of the deen, to know Allah Azza wa Jalla by His Lordship, by His glory and authority and power, majesty, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to know Him by His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection that He has made Himself known by way of in His book, by way of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to know that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah alone with no partners. This is the fundamental foundation of knowledge. So knowledge is the basis of the religion and the first principle. And the head of that is the knowledge of Tawheed, the knowledge of the rububiyyah of Allah, the knowledge of the asma' wa sifat of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the knowledge of the uluhiyyah of Allah, meaning the right of Allah azza wa jalla to be worshipped alone with no partners. To be worshipped alone with no partners. And in order to truly know Allah, one must know the Prophet of Allah, because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the one who was entrusted to conveying the religion of Allah and to inform the people about Allah and to encourage them to believe in and follow and obey Allah and to warn them, forbid them from disobeying and rejecting faith. And likewise, one must know as well the religion of Al-Islam, any of the details of the straight path and the way that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which He has allowed and prescribed from creed and belief and methodology and way and acts of worship and dealings and business and transactions and the likes. And all of this, it must be with evidence. And all of this must be with evidence. So therefore, it's incumbent to seek knowledge. But we have to be sincere when seeking knowledge. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. This type of knowledge here, knowledge of Allah, knowledge of His Prophet, knowledge of the religion of Islam with evidence and proof, this is obligatory knowledge. This is an obligatory incumbent knowledge upon all of us to learn, upon all of us to learn. So we have to seek that knowledge sincerely, hoping for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sincerely, hoping for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's been mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala in the definition of knowledge, العلم قال الله قال رسوله قال الصحابة هم أولو الإرفان. That knowledge is what Allah said and what His Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what the companions said radiallahu anhum, because they're the people of sound understanding, I mean the companions. They're the people of of sound understanding. So this is knowledge. We're talking about knowledge, knowledge of Allah and His Prophet and the religion of Islam, and he's based upon what is mentioned in the Book of Allah, and based upon what is mentioned in the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and based upon the understanding of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. This requires for there to be evidence and proof, not whims and desires and blind following. Likewise, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, he clarified as well the issue of knowledge. Al-ilmu ma'rifatu al-huda bidalilihi. Al-ilmu ma'rifatu al-huda bidalilihi. The knowledge is to know the guidance with its evidence. Knowledge is to know the guidance with its evidence. Ma dhaka wa taqlidu yastawiyani. This and blind following is not equal. This and blind following is not equal. So if you learn about Allah Azza wa Jal and you learn about His Tawheed, you learn that coupled with evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, and the understanding of the Sahaba, Allahu Akbar, this is true knowledge. You have knowledge now. You're not blind following anyone. Alhamdulillah. And if you learn about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a similar manner, you learn about the fundamentals about Islam, the pillars of Islam and the pillars of Iman and the likes, based upon evidence and proof, which is what this work that we're studying is about, alhamdulillah, then you will have knowledge. Meaning you will have knowledge of the guidance with evidence and proof. With evidence and proof. Because the one who's blind following, he does not have knowledge. Whether he's simply blind following. Whether he's simply blind following. So again, this knowledge here is guidance, which was revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran and the Sunnah is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must be sincere in seeking this knowledge. Meaning that we must seek this knowledge believing that it is guidance, and believing that it is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have the intention to learn that which is pleasing to Allah in order to perform it, and to apply it, and to learn that which is displeasing to Allah azza wa jal in order to avoid it and to stay away from it. So this is our intention in seeking knowledge. We seek knowledge believing in Allah and the last day, believing in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his laws in a legal way, believing in the Jannah and believing in the nar, believing in the accountability and the standing before Allah on the day of resurrection, believing in the Quran, believing in the Sunnah, and we want to learn this guidance, believing in that guidance, and hoping for the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal, hoping to learn what is pleasing to Allah from creed, statement, action, and deed in order to perform that, hoping for the pleasure of Allah. And likewise, we want to learn as well that which is contrary, in opposition to that, from creed, statement, action, and deed, in order to avoid it and leave it, in order to avoid it and leave it out of fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the good intention of seeking knowledge. To further emphasize that good intention is that one will have the intention to learn in order to apply the knowledge. In this matter, the knowledge is beneficial. So if a person, he learns with this intention, and he begins to apply the knowledge little by little, as he's learning little by little, then that knowledge will take root in his heart, and it will become firm, and it will grow and produce great fruits and benefits, and it will rectify the heart and the soul by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But if not, then it will be a means to corrupt the heart, waliyadu billah, and the knowledge that is learned with a bad intention will be a means to corrupt the heart, not a benefit for a person, but rather a proof against them. So it's very dangerous. We have to correct our intention always whenever we're seeking knowledge, especially in the beginning of new affairs, but even continuously. As we're moving down the path of knowledge, we have to continuously check our intention and to purify our aims and goals to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this path. Upon this path. It's been narrated by Ali radiallahu anhu that he said, "Hatafa al-ilmu bil-amal, fa'in ajaba wa illa irtahala." That knowledge calls for action. If it responds, then meaning that's good, alhamdulillah, it will remain a benefit. But if not, then it will go away. Then if not, it will go away. Type of knowledge that one learns but does not cause him to have reverence and fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, or he does not apply it in his life, this is not beneficial for him. This is not beneficial for that person. Rather, he has missed the goal and the aim. He has missed the goal and the aim. This is why Yathri began briefly after that, الثانية الأمرُ به. So after learning about Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the religion about Islam, and learning the evidence in regards to this affair, one must immediately begin applying the knowledge. One must immediately begin applying the knowledge. And from the application of that knowledge is that one will purify the intention and make it sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and intend to implement that knowledge in their life, wherever they may be, in public and in private. And this is very important. Some people, they apply the knowledge in public, but in private, they neglect the application of that knowledge,
or they oppose that knowledge while they know. This is from a deficiency in faith. Allah Azza wa Jal, He can see us whenever we're with the people and whenever we're not with the people. For this reason, the Salaf, they will say, Rahimahum Allahu Ta'ala, Ihris antakuna khalawatuka aslaha min jalawatika, that you must be diligent to make sure that your times when you're alone are more righteous and pious than whenever you're with the people. And even whenever you're alone and no one can see you, must be more diligent at this time to fear Allah, to be pious, to be righteous, to implement the knowledge that you know, and to fear Allah Azza wa Jal, even more than whenever the people can see you. Even more whenever the people can see you. And from the means of being steadfast in the religion is to fear Allah in private. And to fear Allah in private, whenever no one can see, whenever no one can see you. And to have even some good deeds that you perform, some righteous good deeds, whatever they may be, whatever they may be, from the righteous and good deeds that are pleasing to Allah that no one knows about them except for Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is also from the means of being steadfast and having guidance and showing thanks for the blessing of knowledge, for the blessing of knowledge. So therefore we seek knowledge seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is obtained by applying that knowledge and implementing it in our lives and upholding the rights of that knowledge, hoping to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who has this beautiful intention, he's sincere in that, and he strives against his soul upon this way, then Allah will facilitate and make easy for him a path to paradise. And we all know the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is collected by Imam Muslim rahimahullah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilma, man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilma, sahala Allahu lahu bihi tariqan ila al-jannah." That whoever sets it on a path seeking knowledge therein, then Allah will facilitate and make easy for him the path to paradise. This is for those who are sincere and truthful with Allah and that search for knowledge. And they intend to learn that knowledge in order to apply it, believing in that knowledge and believing in the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Salaf, they would say, "Man amina bima alima awrathahu Allahu ilma ma lam ya'lam." That whoever applies the knowledge that they have, then Allah will bestow upon him the knowledge of that which he does not have. Any meaning, he will teach him and increase him in knowledge. To increase him in knowledge. So the knowledge, whenever it's applied, it will take root and it will bring great fruits and benefits for a person. Alhamdulillah. But if a person, he learns knowledge and does not apply it, then that knowledge will not take root. Rather, it will be a means to corrupt the person. And it will, instead of bringing about beautiful, good, and sweet fruits, it'll bring about bitter, disgusting fruits like ujub and gurur, wal kibr, wal hiqd, wal hasad. It will bring about arrogance and pride and self-amazement. You know, bring about jealousy and the likes like this. And these are from the sifat of the Yahud, the attributes of the Jews, and they are people of knowledge. We all know about this affair, that they're people of knowledge, but their knowledge did not benefit them when yada billah, and therefore it caused them to be the most arrogant of mankind, and the most jealous likewise. The most jealous likewise with yada billah, with yada billah. So it's incumbent to seek knowledge, and it's incumbent to purify the attention in doing that, and to implement and to apply the knowledge in one's life, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner, the soul will become rectified and the soul will become cleansed and purified. And a person's heart will become strong and good. And they will taste the sweetness of faith by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. And after that, they will not be able to wait even a moment except that others, they share in that joy that they have found. And they'll begin to invite others, and to call others, and to teach others, and to clarify for others this beautiful path and this wonderful way of al-Islam. And this is the third point here. The author is mentioning al-Thalitha al-Da'watu ilayhi. The third is calling to it, calling to that knowledge and to that application. So this is the way and this is the manner. First learning and seeking knowledge and understanding that knowledge, memorizing and the likes, and then applying and implementing that knowledge in one life until a person is upon a good way, alhamdulillah. And then after that, they'll begin to call. And they'll begin to invite, and they'll begin to teach, and the likes like this in a manner suitable, in a manner according to their level. Not everyone will be a teacher, but everyone can call accordingly, according to their ability, giving advice or giving direction, or even sharing beneficial links and calling other students to join and to participate in the classes. It's the type of calling likewise. So the levels of calling are different, but one will strive and hope to reach a good level in that and to partake in that, because the best of mankind, there are those who call to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah, He mentioned in His book, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And who's better in statement? And no one is better in statement and deed, methodology and way. No one is better than the one who calls to Allah. And he works righteous deeds. And he works righteous deeds and said, indeed, I am amongst the Muslims. I am from the Muslims. I'm from a Muslim. I am a Muslim. And you call to an Islam. And you call others to be a Muslim and to rectify their Islam, to purify their deen, and to make the tawheed sincerity for the sake of Allah, and to free themselves from innovation and shirk, and to be upright upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to love Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum and the rest of the Sahaba and the family and household of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You call to this. No one is better than that person. No one is better than that person. Alhamdulillah, wa man ahsanu qawlan. ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين وقال إنني من المسلمين الحمد لله أنا مسلم الحمد لله I am a Muslim I am a Muslim. So after this, the author, he mentions رحمه الله تعالى الرابع الصبر على الأذى فيه. That one, he must be patient upon the harms that are found in this pathway, the harms and difficulties that one finds in seeking knowledge. Seeking knowledge is heavy. Al-ilmu thaqeel. Knowledge is heavy. Seeking knowledge is heavy. And to be consistent and persistent, this is what is required to truly learn and to become strong and have a good foundation in knowledge and to be beneficial for oneself and for others. One must be patient in seeking knowledge and persistent, be consistent in seeking knowledge and be diligent and never leave the path of knowledge. But likewise, it requires great patience in the application of that knowledge and also, no doubt, patience in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt, great patience in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many harms that come about when calling to Allah azza wa jal. There are many harms and difficulties in the path of seeking knowledge. There are many harms and difficulties in the path of implementing and applying knowledge. And there are no doubt many harms and difficulties in the path of calling to knowledge and to the application of that knowledge. And the enemies of Islam are many these days, and the enemies of the Sunnah likewise numerous in these days, and they have so many different methodologies and deviant ways. And it's incumbent for us to realize this affair and to cultivate ourselves and our families and to learn the clear and pure deed and the true methodology and the upright way of Islam, the Islam that was revealed from above the heavens, that was taught by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was understood by the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, that was carried on from the Tabi'in and the Atba' Tabi'in and the scholars of hadith, to learn that way, to cultivate ourselves and our families upon that way, and to call to that way, to teach the people the proper understanding, and to stand in the face of the people of falsehood and the people of evil and the people of deviation, and to refute them and to clarify the ills of their statements and the foul outcomes of their creeds and methodologies and the deviant ways of their ideologies, and to break their backs for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, to silence them until they shut their mouths. And then the deen is known and the sunnah is clarified and the tawheed is purified for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It requires patience. Patience is three types. As-sabru ala ta'atillah. As-sabru an ma'asiyatillah. Was-sabru ala aqdarillahi al-mu'lima. One must be patient. One must be patient upon the obedience of Allah. One must be patient in avoiding and leaving the disobedience of Allah. And one must be patient in dealing with the painful decrees and calamities that occur by the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. These are the levels of patience. So one, he must be steadfast in performing the acts of worship and obedience to Allah daily. And one must endure any hardship or difficulty and must strive to be consistent in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. To be consistent in establishing the obligations, praying on time, fasting in the hot days, performing the Hajj even if it's difficult. One, he must strive to be patient in performing the obligations and the righteous and good deeds. And likewise, one must be patient in avoiding and staying away from sin, restraining oneself from committing sins, or succumbing to one's desires. Even whenever the temptations are strong and the soul becomes hot, one must fear Allah Azza wa Jal and remember the knowledge that they have learned and implement that in application and be patient and fight one's soul to not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, the calamities that befall from the decrees of Allah Azza wa Jal, one must be patient and believe in Allah and His decree, and believe in His lordship, His command, and know that whatever He allows and permits cannot be denied or rejected, and to submit and to surrender to that. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ. Whoever believes in Allah, then he will guide his heart. Alqama, he said, huwa ar-rajulu tusibuhu musiba fayalamu annaha min indillahi fa yusallim wa yarda, that this is a person, a calamity will befall them, and they know that it's from Allah, and they will surrender and submit and be pleased and accept that. In this manner, guidance will come to the heart. In this manner, guidance will come to the heart. So to summarize, barakallahu feekum, these affairs here, there are four. Knowledge, and we're talking about knowledge of Allah, the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, and knowledge of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learning about His sunnah, laws and legal ways, and learning about His seerah and mubarakah, His blessed biography sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and His life. And His life, His noble life, and learning about the deen, about Islam, with evidence and proof. And then applying that in application in your life, wherever you may be, in the masjid, in the market, in the school, in the occupation, in public, in private, every day, in the daytime, in the nighttime, upholding that knowledge and application. Upholding that knowledge and application in this manner, we will be rectified, we'll be good. Allah will be pleased with us. And then after that, we call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to that knowledge on the level and platform that is suitable for each individual, And we be patient upon that way. The evidence for this affair is in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wal Asr, by the time, Innal insana lafi khusr, that indeed all mankind is in loss. Man is in loss, meaning they're all losers. All of mankind, they're losers. The losers, they go to the hellfire. The losers, they have the anger of Allah. The losers, they will be disgraced and they'll be punished in the fire of Allah Azza wa Jal. All of mankind, they're losers. And then lost, illa alladhina amanu, except for those who believe. And he meaning they have knowledge and their faith is based upon knowledge. This is with regards to the first affair. Wa'amilu salihah, and they work righteous deeds, meaning they implement that knowledge in practical application. Meaning they implement that knowledge in practical application. Watawasu bihaq, and they mutually enjoin, recommend each other to the truth. And they call to that truth. They call to that knowledge. And they call to the application of that knowledge. Watawasu bisabr, and they recommend an order and enjoin upon each other to be patient upon that way. So these are the four levels here in Surah Al-Asr. This is a great and most beautiful surah. Alhamdulillah. And from the benefits of this surah likewise is that importance of time. Allah is swearing by the time, indicating the greatness of time and the importance of time. And that if you ponder and think about time in general, this will lead you to realize the greatness of the creator of time. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So many benefits. We summarize now. Qala al-Imam al-Shafi rahimahullah. Al-Imam al-Shafi, Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi, he died in the year 204. Himahullahu ta'ala, the great Imam. He said here, لو ما أنزل الله حجة على خلقه إلى هذه الصورة فكفت. If Allah had not revealed any evidence or proof upon the creation except this chapter, it would have sufficed them. Allah knows best what has come from Ash-Shafi, the actual wording that is found and narrated in the books of Hadith transmitted from the people of the earlier generations is that Imam Ash-Shafi said, رحمه الله, لو تدبر الناس هذه الصورة لوسعتهم. No, if the people were to ponder and reflect on this chapter, it would suffice them. And it would suffice them to realize the proper methodology of life and the importance of knowledge, the application of that knowledge, and calling and cooperating upon spreading that knowledge and being patient upon that way in order to be successful and to not be a loser. وقال البخاري رحمه الله الإمام البخاري أبو عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل رحمه الله تعالى died in the 256, the great scholar of hadith. He said, باب العلم قبل القول والعمل, that the chapter with regard to the fact that knowledge must precede every statement and action, and the evidence for that is a statement of Allah عز وجل فعلا. You must know, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, أنه لا إله إلا الله واستغفر لذنبك, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and seek forgiveness for your sins. This verse here is in Surah Muhammad, which was revealed after the Hijrah, after more than 13 years at least, calling to La ilaha illallah. Allah reminds His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you must know, O Prophet, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, indicating the great importance of knowledge and to continue upon learning and studying and reviewing that knowledge, especially the knowledge of At-Tawheed. La ilaha illallah. فَبَدَأَ بِالْعِلْمِ قَبَلَ الْقَوْلِ وَالْأَمَلِ. So he began here with knowledge before statement and action. And there are many, many benefits to mention here, and I've already went over the time for today's class, and I apologize. هذا صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.